This morning to Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know if you know, probably most don't, because it's somewhat of a recent phenomenon, but today is National Orphan Sunday. How many of y'all knew that today was National Orphan Sunday? Again, it's gaining, you know, more and more traction kind of in mainstream culture. As you all know, we have had the privilege of working with the internationally acclaimed African Children's Choir. They were here for our fall kickoff in August, these beautiful orphans from Uganda. The News and Observer even came up in here and did a great article. If you want to read that, you can go online to our website at kingsparkraleigh.com. Go on the section of the blogs and you can read that article about these beautiful orphans, a little bit about things back home in Uganda, in Entebbe, where their orphanage is. But just beautiful, beautiful little children, and it has really changed our lives, has it not? James went so far as to say true religion is to look after orphans and widows. And so this truly is embracing the heart of the Lord, and our lives have been changed. We have a ministry that we have started called Friends of Marimbe, M-I-R-E-M-B-E. Marimbe is the Lugandan word for peace. And we bought a home on 8 acres several years ago, renovated it. Someone gave us another house. They quartered it and then transported it over to the property. So we have two houses there on the 6 to 8 acres. I think it's 6, actually. And they play soccer, trampoline, swing sets. If you've never been over there to a tour of the Marimbe house, we encourage you to go. If you can go when the kids are there, especially during their devotional hours at night, it'll just rock your world to watch them worshiping, doing their devotional. They'll come and even pray for you as a guest coming there. But they love the Lord. They're just so uplifted. It's just so wonderful to be a part. If you want to give toward that, we'll have something at the back. I don't think I signaled the ushers, but we will have something at the back if you want to give toward that ministry called Friends of Marimbe, and we just abbreviate that F-O-M. Also, our own Jody Tucker from Durham at our Durham site, she is the National Director of Orphan Sunday with Christian Alliance for Orphans, and she just went to Uganda and produced a 30-minute video with the help of Katie Rohn and with Sean Curian and a few others. And I told them, we do not yet have Wi-Fi wireless at Wiley. So we'll get the DVD and show you just a little snippet of that. But they did a tremendous job putting a documentary together, just very, very touching and meaningful. And so we want to just make room for this part of God's heart. And I'm glad it's found its way into church culture. Again, it's just a few years old, but you'll be hearing about it in the years to come. It'll become more and more mainstream that this date is, again, National Orphan Sunday. So, in the spirit of Orphan Sunday and in view of our lives, I wanted to launch from Ephesians 1 here this morning. And here's some definite love letters written to us through Paul to the church of Ephesus. And it reads here, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Lord, this is rich. Help us to embrace this, put it down deep into our own hearts, to truly understand our inheritance as sons, our inheritance as daughters. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. This right here, this text is loaded with God's heart and affection for us. Now, you may think, I know that God loves us. Yeah, get on, get on. No, if we really knew it, it would change us more and more. If we really knew it, it would alter disposition. If we really knew it, it would alter how we look at life, how we looked at others. If we really allowed it to even go deeper than what we understand to be true today, there is a correlation and there is a connection in how we live life. We must believe this deep in the deepest part of us. In counseling circles, there's this little mantra that says, hurt people hurt people. Many times people perpetuate the pain they once received, and then it's just cyclical. It just goes on, and it's continually perpetrated until someone puts a stop to it. They find healing for themselves. They step into an understanding of God's love for them. Then they stop perpetrating the pain and they begin to dispense grace and love. That's why these letters are very important to know. Bless God, I am adopted in the family of God. I've been picked. I've been selected. It will do something to us on the inside. It just will. So it's more than just trite, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, you know, so trite. So, you know, it's powerful. It's weighty. We need it. We need it deep. So here in verse 4 of chapter 1, Paul says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Let's stop right there. Number one is he chose us. Wow. That is powerful. He chose us. Value is now immediately transferred to your understanding. God chose you. God chose you. Look at your neighbor and say, God chose you. Now look at him again and say, believe it though. You got to believe it. God chose you. I mean, that one statement right there ought to just make us just cut a jig. I mean, to tell you what, it ought to put something in our step. I mean, the God of heaven, he's approving of us. We've said before that people mistakenly think God is mostly mad or mostly sad. No, he's mostly glad. And he approves us. He's excited about us. He even dances over us with shouts of joy. That seems a little bit like a fairy tale, but sorry, it's Bible. That's his heart for us. He chose us. Now, I find security in that statement. Do you? I find personal value in that statement. Do you? There is personal value transferred to us. Now, I know that going through life, we go through stuff. People knock you around. You can be, you can be lied about. You can be abused. You can be this. You can be that. There are words that are spoken over us. Just life happens. But that has nothing to do with your value. God chose you regardless. God chose you in spite of it. That knowledge is true nonetheless, in view of what's happened to you. Your value remains. Your value remains. Say to yourself, my value remains. Dan Stoldorf and I were in India a couple of years ago, and we were ministering at a particular ministry doing a phenomenal work, and our pastor from Singapore was talking to a school there at this ministry, Love and Care Ministries, where we were invited to come and be a part. And our pastor friend from Singapore, Pastor Larry, who was Jane's former pastor in Singapore. He was trying to transmit the value to these young Indian students, and he held out a, I guess it was a bill in their currency, and he said, this bill, and here I'm, this is the U.S. dollar, said, it has value. It has value regardless of what's done to it. And to paint a little word picture for them, he said, regardless of what's done, the value is there, whether I crumple it, whether I spit on it, whether I step on it, whether I stomp on it. And sometimes you can feel in life a little bit like that. He said, but nonetheless, it still retains its value. And so you can feel like, I got stomped on this week. I feel like I got crunched. I feel like I got, you know, trodden underfoot. Or there are those that may have been literally spit on. I mean, that's kind of a bad day. You know, how's your day, honey? I got spit on today. Not a good day. You know, but all these things can kind of come our way. Has nothing to do with our value. And matter of fact, if someone is doing something in a wrong way, that's their issue, their problem. We don't let it become ours. We go back to this scripture. We begin to immerse ourselves in these love letters, and we remind ourselves, no, he chose me. Doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're saying, he chose me. You can't take that away. Nanny, nanny, nanny. No, don't do that. But at any rate, we must know this. We must know that we know. We retain our value still. Certainly we do in God's sight. The key is, do we have this understanding in our sight? He chose us. Verse 4, reading it again even further, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Now, that's a lofty idea. He not only chose us, well, when did he choose me? Last week? No, he chose us before the creation of the world. Are you kidding me? He selected me that far back, before I even came physically onto the face and the arena of the earth. How could he know me? That's what makes God God. Before the creation of the world, he chose me. Now, I can try to do a little bit of math, but I mean, that's a long time. I mean, I was born in 1961. So that means, according to this text, it implies that God had me in his mind and in his heart back in the 1800s. God had me in his heart in the 1500s, God had me in his heart in 70 AD and on and on. God had me in his heart pre-Adam and Eve. God was thinking about me, and he chose me even before the Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the deep, waiting for that creative word of the Father to come forth, light be. I was in God's mind. Hello? I was in his mind. I was on it. We must get this, because life will try to put you in a particular mold. But I didn't even have a chance to be born, and I was already on his mind. My picture was in his wallet. He doesn't just tolerate us, love us. He likes us. Love that. Love that. Had you in mind. Since when? Eternity past. I was laying in bed last night thinking on the truth that God has existed from eternity past. He's the uncreated God. And my head goes on tilt. I'm just like, I can't wrap my mind around that with our understanding of time. That's a long time ago. How does that happen? That's why God's God. A lot of things happen just because he's God. Verse 5, it says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We were in a Alpha weekend this past weekend, and out of the gate, Nikki was sharing actually the verses that I had prepared, one of them for today that I'll get to in a little bit later. But he was making reference to his son who was adopted, and there were times at school that his son would get picked on based on being adopted. And finally, he just got to the point where he would tell his classmates, look, my parents chose me. They picked me out, you know, so put that in your pipe and smoke it, you know. So that was his little kind of one-liner comeback. My folks actually picked me out, actually selected me. I'm going to go back. Number one is he chose us. Number two is he chose us before the world began. Number three, in love, it was God's full intent that we be adopted. In love, due to love, because of God, it was his full intent that we be adopted. Number three, not as hirelings, not as understudies, not as mere servants, not as a labor union, but as sons. He's not using us. He's not tolerating us. He enjoys us as sons. It was his full intent to be sons, to be daughters, which speaks of belonging, which speaks of family, which speaks of relationships, which implies then there is a father and a loving one at that. So sons, daughters, yea, God, with all of its privileges and all of its benefits, we belong. We belong. Y'all know there's so many people in life that even though there can be everything around them in the natural looking like it's clicking off, there's still a misstep in view of belonging. You can have people all around you. You know the Facebook phenomenon. You can have 20,000 friends and be the loneliest person on the earth. You can have cronies around you, colleagues around you, buzz is going around you, but still not having that sense of belonging because it doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. And as we get it deep on the inside, it'll manifest in how we live our life, how we relate to others. That belonging is, in fact, the spirit of adoption that we're talking about this morning. Hear this, church. God is not merely tolerating us. The text reads, he adopted us in accordance with his pleasure and will. It wasn't like, all right, give me that ugly one over there. I'll take that one home. It wasn't like that. It says, he adopted us according to his pleasure. Can you say pleasure? It puts a smile on his face. It's like, dear Lord, another mouth to feed. What's that going to cost me? Got to educate another one. No, it says he adopted us according to his pleasure. He was excited. I want you. I want you, son. His pleasure and his will. In other words, it's not a mistake. People talk about illegitimate children. There are no illegitimate children. They're illegitimate parents, but no illegitimate children. According to his will. And so it's like, thank God for your intention over me. But oh, it doesn't stop there. Verse 6, it says, he adopted us to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7 references the riches of God's grace that he lavishes. You may think, stop already, I'm embarrassed. Well, he might kiss on you so much it just gets a little bit embarrassing after a while. He wants to lavish that love, and he wants to conquer us with that love. Our mind can't comprehend that love. We could even get a little bit uncomfortable, you know, with a proper stiff upper lip of trying to maintain composure. He can be sloppy in his love for us. I mean, he is extravagant. He lavishes on us, not begrudging, with all wisdom and understanding. Verse 11 reminds us again that we've been chosen. How have we been chosen? According to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You mean there's an actual plan? There's an actual plan? We're not lucky mud. We're not a mere number. There was an actual planning. There was a boardroom meeting. There was a council, a conferring in the Trinity where they decided to come forth with this. This was really the plan all along. You can look at yourself in the mirror and say, this was his plan all along. And he does all things well. You've heard me say before that when God made you, he said, you're so special, I will never do that again. Anyway, a little play on that. But we are unique. We are special. He's so committed to us. There is an actual plan. It's not a big bang. It's a big plan. A big plan. A grandiose plan. He works out everything according to the purpose of his will. So that means there's intentionality. Again, that should make you secure. There's intentionality about God. Sometimes we fret and feel like we got to help God. God, are you really watching? Are you really watching? You see what's going on? He sees. He knows. History is his story. You think something's going down bad, it could be that God's using that for his purpose, and then, you know, he may even be using a bad situation, then he'll bust their head after the fact. But God knows what he's doing. I just want to be a part of what he's doing. Now, I don't want to get in the way. I want to cooperate and volunteer. Say, count me in to what you're doing. So thank God for the intentionality of the Lord, his purpose, his will. Verse 13, there's no stuttering here at all. When he said, and you also were included. And you also were included. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're included. You belong. You're okay. You're okay. Most of the time. No, you are. You're included. You're included. And verse 13 reads, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Thank God for it. Marked with a seal. How were we sealed? He gave his Holy Spirit as a seal. You're made in my image. To those that have called on his name, you're mine. I mark you with the seal of my Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Wow. An inheritance, which is number four. Now I'm not just a son, but a son with an inheritance, a guaranteed inheritance. It's pretty good to belong to this family, is it not? This is a pretty good family. There's nothing dysfunctional about our Heavenly Father. And many times we can easily project based on earthly relationships onto God that are not, in fact, the nature and character of God. We have to be careful and allow the Bible to describe his character and his nature. Because if we had a mean, begrudging, tight, stingy, exacting, legal type dad, we could project that onto the Heavenly Father, where the Bible doesn't describe him that way at all. And that's why we want to wash and renew our thinking with right concepts and right understanding about God. Because our concepts of God will determine what we play out in the earth. We'll play out our understanding of God, whether it's a right, proper understanding or if it's skewed. You and I are even called God's possession. That doesn't sound like an orphan to me. God's possession. God's possession. Love that. Not an orphan. No, no, no. Fully been chosen, fully been adopted. Woo-hoo. That's good news. Here on this National Orphan Sunday, I encourage us all that we're chosen, we're adopted, there is an intentional plan due to extravagant love lavished on us by an amazing, wonderful Father. See, when children know their love, they don't have to go out and experiment because they're not quite sure who they are. When your children feel secure and you're loving on them and they're like, oh, daddy, you know, and they feel secure, there's value, then they don't have to go out and find themselves by knocking down five telephone poles to find, you know, and experiment. There's not a driving need. It's like, I'm satisfied. I'm content. I don't have to push the envelope. I don't have to impress my friends. Why do you not have that desire like the rest of us? Because my daddy loves me. He says, I'm wonderful. He says, I'm beautiful. He says, I'm amazing. And that satisfies me. So I don't have to be driven in life and pushed to conform. I'm so secure. And that's a wonderful inheritance to leave a son and a daughter, is it not? You can do no wrong. My mom was here last week. Y'all have heard me say before, she was of the mindset. It wasn't necessarily right, but she was of the mindset, you can do nothing wrong. And I've told you before, even if I would be laid up in prison, she'd say, you're the finest thing. You are so fine. That was just her disposition. That was just her wiring. My dad was a little more how now, brown cow. You know, they were a great compliment. But, I mean, you know, she wasn't flustered much, you know. And certainly God's love is unconditional, and he can love us back to a place of obedience if we get out of line. He can certainly do that due to his commitment to us. But he's lavished this on us. I was talking to Matt yesterday, Matt Martin, and he was referencing the book that President Ronald Reagan's adopted son, Michael, wrote years ago in 2004. Maybe you've seen it. It was entitled Twice Adopted. In other words, he was adopted physically into the Reagan family, but then he had an encounter with God, became a Christian, and now he's adopted spiritually. I like that. Twice adopted. Those wonderful, beautiful little Ugandan orphans have been adopted into the ministry, the Music for Life African Children's Choir program, and now they've been adopted again into the family of God. Now they're sons and their daughters and heirs of the Lord. Adoption is to be celebrated. It's wonderful. Romans 8, 15 through 16 says in the NAS, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." I don't care how many debates I get into. If I'm in a witnessing scenario and I'm up against a committed skeptic, there is no way they can push me off the premise that I'm a son of God. I have the witness of the Spirit within that I'm a child of God. That spirit of sonship even cries, Abba, Father. I know there's a connection there. It cannot be taken away. Let no one steal that from you as well. Spirit of adoption. The NIV reads, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship." Sonship, belonging. I love it. He gives his spirit, which cries, Father. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The eternal Father, the everlasting Father. He's chosen to relate with us as a benevolent, gracious, loving Father. Father, Son. Father, Son. Father, Daughter. Father, Daughter. Adoption. Thank God for it. Galatians 4, if you'll move backwards a book. Galatians 4, verse 4. "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Love it. "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God now has made you also an heir." In other words, I mean, you're a partner in the plan of God, in the estimation of God. So he's granted us full rights as sons. Membership has its privileges. We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, as was talked about earlier. Our tradition in the Stewart family is we love to go down to Farmville, North Carolina, to the little Colonial Inn. It's a restored house it's a restaurant. And the tradition for years is they greet you with sparkling cider or champagne at the porch when you walk up to the home. And it's a great spread. Their signature dish is either the oyster dressing or scalloped oysters, one or the other. I mean, they have the traditional ham and the turkey and the corn pudding but I tell you what, it'll make a freight train take a left to just get in there for those oysters. I mean, it puts them on the map. And so when that time comes, I'm not going to get up to our table and say, oh, it would be so nice to just have one of those oysters and just, you know, crawl on my knees and say, oh, it sure be nice if I could have one, you know. I mean, if I did that, you know, my dad'd say, boy, get up here and sit in that chair. You're a steward. This is paid for. You belong here. Now sit here, be a glutton, and we'll repent in 2 hours, you know? And so We belong at the table is the point. We don't have to, you know, apologize. We belong at the table. We have a rightful inheritance. Now, that doesn't promote cockiness. It promotes soundness. It promotes wholeness, security, and health. And you see, health begets health. If we don't know who we are, how are we going to help someone else find and discover who they are? It's like you can have an identity in the Lord, and we're not quite sure, and we're half cocked, you know, and we're still struck. You know, it's like we need to know out of a context of health, you can have this. God is so for you. Believe it. Believe it. It'll change you. Believe it in your heart of hearts. He goes so far as to call us heirs. In other words, that's when you become a partner in the company. I mean, we're not just merely, I mean, we'll always be subordinate to the Lord, obviously, but he's saying, come on up here. Come on up into the office. Let me push an idea by you. What do you think? Remember when God did that with Moses? Moses, this is my plan. And Moses is like, oh, God, don't do that. Oh, Lord, I just pray. Oh, Lord. Y'all remember that with Abraham? Oh, God, if there's just a few righteous, don't judge that city. You know, he'll say, I'm going to bring you up. You're not equal to me, but I'm going to treat you with dignity, and I want you in on my plans. We're called heirs. There are certain rights. Membership has its privileges. Guys, this is why we compel others, be reconciled to God. It's not bad news. It's good news. We don't apologize. Well, I don't want to turn them off. They're already off. We want to turn them on. This is good news. This is good stuff. You can be free. We can be free. We have to believe it, though. They're going to look at us, and we're telling them, you can be free. I mean, we got to be free in some measure. You know, we have to be living epistles, you know, but we want to help get gunk off people. Jesus died to get mess off, bondage off, addiction off, condemnation off, wrong concepts and wrong belief systems off. He's a liberator. He's an emancipator. Thank God for it. I said a couple weeks ago, he's our Abraham Lincoln. He's our Moses. Let my people go. That's his heart. Not waiting to put a yoke on. Oh, someone's having a good time. I'll just be the eternal party pooper. Always just keeping you down, keeping the lid on. Oh, bah humbug. That's not God. There's not a bah humbug spirit in him. He said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, to have the abundant life. He wants us to live upright shirts by his grace. He empowers that. But the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's fun to be a kid of the King. Thank God. John 1, 12 through 13, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To those who received him, I don't know about you, but I'm going to receive him. Yes, come into my life, my heart, my experience, my family. Come into it all. Be God in my life. Be God to me. Be Papa to me. Be Abba. Be Father. He says, I give you therefore the right to be a son. Belonging. Security, soundness, wholeness. Then it doesn't matter about the crumpled up, what the world's doing. You can't take away the value. It's been determined long time ago. And I'm standing in that reality. God's called us to do this. Back to Galatians 4, it reads in verse 9 that we don't just know God, but we are known by God. I am known by God. He knows me. He's acquainted and intimately acquainted with my ways. I certainly want to be acquainted with his. He knows me. He knows me. That's why there's no place in here for deism. He's not a creator who created and then stepped away and says, get on with your bad self. I'll be over here. No, he's intimately acquainted. He knows us. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you before you were born. Go figure. I set you apart. I appointed you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nation. Wow. See the intentionality? see the purpose, see the plan. God doesn't do arbitrary. God doesn't do random. This is the foreknowledge of the Lord. I am on you. I am all over you like white on rice. I love you. I am for you. If I'm for you, who can be against you? How dare anyone lay any charge against my elect, saith the Lord. We must know this. This is wonderful news. This is wonderful knowledge. Jeremiah said, before I was even born, he knew me. He had a plan, set me apart. When were you set apart? Oh, around 16, I heard the call of the Lord. No, he says, I did it a long time ago. You just bumped into that understanding years later. Psalm 139. We'll close with this text. Psalm 139. Do we believe this here on this National Orphan Sunday? Thank God. Thank God. The psalmist says here, David, in verse 13 of Psalm 139, this is the intimate knowledge of the Lord here, y'all. This removes randomness off the table, out of the scenario. Here David said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Amazing. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. That's a thinking, planning, intentional Lord here. All the days ordained. This goes back to what we mentioned earlier, that God has a plan, which is our final point today. Number five, God has a destiny and a plan for our lives. God has a destiny. Amazingly, even before we bumped into it, even before we were born, it existed with God in eternity past. He already had a decree. He knew you, knew what you'd look like, the color of your eyes, your fingerprint, everything. Esteem then, therefore, what he esteems. So number one, God chose us. Number two, God chose us before the foundation of the world. Number three, in love, it was God's full intent that we be adopted. Number four, we are now sons and daughters with a guaranteed inheritance. And number five, we have a sure, sure destiny in God. Isn't this good stuff? There's always room to be loved on more. Y'all like to be loved on? There's always room to be loved, because the more he does, the more it burns off the false notions and images and identity that we've lived up under. Living up under word curses. Could have been spoken 30 years. Could have been a coach. Could have been a parent. Could have been an authority figure. Could have been a bully at school. Could have been something that happened. Circumstances happened and you projected that on God. God must have done. And that was God's heart. You know, this is so wonderfully liberating. Let's stand together. We just pray this. In view of National Orphan Sunday, Lord, I thank you we too have been adopted. I thank you today for the spirit of adoption. Thank you, it's real. Lord, it's not twinkle, twinkle, little star. This stuff is real. We've been adopted in the family. So, Lord, to the degree that we're beat up, have been beat up ourselves, believed a lie, lived beneath our inheritance as sons and daughters, Lord, rewire the software right now. Just put your hand over your heart. Lord, rewire the software right now. Lord, I just pray, just rewrite whole lines of code on the inside of our soul. And Father, we just release anyone that needs to be released. We forgive anyone that has caused harm or pain. We will not be defined by pain. We'll be defined by our Father. Y'all know, church, the Father determines the gender of a child. Lord, we thank you. You determine our identity. Now, Lord, I just pray you just heap on, just love on your church. Lord, even sloppy love. Lord, just kiss your bride today, God, I pray. Just let everyone know deeply in their heart of hearts your great care and concern over us, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I also just speak a healing word. Just healing and wholeness and health and joy and life and excitement. In the name of the Lord, that's our inheritance. That's our inheritance. Amen, church.